Today I have a special guest to introduce. You've seen him for years on posters, in parades, and tucked into the pages of history books. He's the guy in the tall hat, dressed head to toe in red, white, and blue, and pointing right at you, as if to say, "Don't look away, I am talking to you." For some, he's a little intimidating. For others, he's a source of inspiration. Either way, he's become one of the most recognizable figures in American life. And here's the thing, behind that stern look and that famous finger, there's a story. A story about who we are as a people, where we've come from, and what it really takes to keep freedom alive. He's part symbol, part conscience, and part storyteller, carrying with him echoes of the founding fathers and the Judeo-Christian values that shaped our nation. Today, we get the rare chance to sit down with him. Not the poster, not the caricature, but the voice behind the symbol. And trust me, you've never heard him quite like this before. And he even brought his banjo. He will also remind everyone that although our nation is not paradise, in many ways, it is almost paradise. And after our interview, don't go away too quickly, I will be giving a few reflective thoughts on the man and the legend and what he means to us and our country. But first, a word from our sponsor. You know, before I switched to EL Internet services, I had lots of issues with slow internet speed and sketchy connectivity issues, but no more. As a result, it has saved me a lot of time and a lot of frustration. And now that we are in September and school is starting across the area, there might be some parents considering homeschooling for their children, but are concerned about internet issues. Not with EL Internet. Many homeschooling families rely on their services for daily lessons. If you have any questions about this or other internet-related issues, give Eric a call at 208-946-4147 or check out their website at elinternetnw.com. That NW stands for Northwest. And again, that phone number is 208-946-4147. And tell them Ted sent you. Welcome back to Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And this is Ted Ludlum. Now, folks, today's guest doesn't really need an introduction. You've seen him in posters and parades and cartoons and probably on a few barbecue aprons. And he's older than dirt. He wears the loudest suit in America. And he has a birthday coming up on, actually, September 15th. That's right. If you haven't guessed it, it's Uncle Sam himself is here with me in studio.
Older than dirt. Man, I've been around a long time, but back then dirt was a luxury. And I can remember when we'd fight the neighbors just for a good patch of dirt.
And when it rained, it was mud.
It was mud.
That's right.
Everywhere.
So, Uncle Sam, happy early birthday. You're going to be 213 years old this year.
My.
How does that feel?
Well, I actually feel like I'm about 110, just a few more creaks. These bones sound like an old porch swing. They just creak and creak, and my back sounds like bubble wrap every time I get out of a chair. But let's just say I outlived my warranty that probably expired in 1900. But hey, I still get around, and as long as they offer me apple pie and coffee, I'll keep showing up.
Now, you prefer apple pie over cherry pie?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, George Washington seemed to like cherry pie.
Well.
But you weren't quite there with George Washington.
No. I like the apple pie over the cherry. I think it was Johnny Appleseed. He brought me around.
Oh, have you met Johnny Appleseed?
Long time ago.
Yeah, okay.
Our paths crossed several times.
Well, let's start at the beginning. Do you remember when you were actually born?
Well, not exactly, but somewhere a few years between, before or after 1812. So I use 1812 as a compromise. So You could say that I was practically a newborn babe when the cannon balls were flying from the British, and folks were still trying to figure out if the experiment of our union would hold, if these United States could stick together. But I like the story that comes from Sam Wilson in Troy, New York, I think it was. He was a meat packer, and he stamped his meat U.S. on his barrels to identify it, and although I think he actually meant United States, the soldiers picked it up and joked about it, saying, "It's from Uncle Sam." The next thing I knew, I was walking around with a beard and a stovepipe hat. But back then, I didn't have this fancy red and white blue getup that I have now.
Yeah.
More like suspenders, work boots, and a stomach full of beans. The top hat came later as an upgrade. I think I borrowed that from Lincoln. But he looked better in it than I did, I'm sure.
Now, you mentioned Troy, New York, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we have a Troy, Montana, not far from here. We even have a Troy, Idaho.
Yes.
But you're from Troy, New York.
Correct.
Okay, just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay, because you weren't ready to be west of the Mississippi at that time. No.
That's true. Not at all.
So you were basically America's inside joke that got out of hand.
Well, kind of. It's kind of like calling your buddy Shorty, and that ends up on his gravestone. I didn't ask for the fame, but, you know, as folks started drawing me on newspapers, I figured, well, if they're going to use my face, I better stick around and keep an eye on things, make sure it goes straight.
Now, one of the things I'm not very good at is being organized, and so I'm kind of going to break this interview up into certain segments, and we're going to talk a little bit about war and peace now, because you've been through a lot of that stuff.
I've read the book.
You what?
I've read the book.
War and Peace? Okay.
Took a while, but I got a while.
So anyway, you've been through every war since, and including the War of 1812. Which ones stand out to you the most?
Well, you know, America argues a lot about politics, religion, taxes, and then sometimes just for fun. But the biggest fight I've ever seen was at a church picnic. It was a potluck, and there was the fight over one group saying it's the mustard in the potato salad, the other one swearing it was mayonnaise. The only thing they could agree upon was somebody's aunt named Edna that should never be allowed back at a potluck.
Okay.
Worst fight I've ever saw.
Now let's set the stage for our listeners a little bit. You're just sitting here on the front porch in a rocking chair, taking it easy. You may even snap your suspenders a couple of times. I don't know. The chickens may show up and the dogs may come up to lick your hand. But we're gonna try to get through this. All right.
All right.
So anyway, more about your experience with wars here in America.
There were a lot, but the Civil War, the one that just kind of tore us in half. Here you had nephews fighting nephews, and at night I could hear the cannonballs from Virginia, thinking this is a war between armies, but it's really a war at a family table. Took hundreds of years to get that all patched up. And then, of course, World War I came along, and it was the war to stop all. I was in my prime, and somebody, some James Montgomery Flagg, painted my picture on a poster, and it shows me pointing my finger, hollering, "I want you." Folks thought it was inspiring. Truth is, I was just trying to get the young guys to stop loafing, get them out of the pool hall.
Even back then, the young guys were kind of hanging out.
Yeah, they just weren't getting it together. Didn't want to get off the duff.
Hmm.
Well, then came World War II, and that was really hard because it was fought on two oceans. Thank goodness for Rosie the Riveter. She kept me company. She was tougher than any general we've ever had nor seen. And I know I've always said that if you want something built, you should ask a woman in a factory. But if you want something destroyed, find a man in the uniform. He'll get it done.
Now, you got any interesting stories about Rosie the Riveter between you and her? Or no?
Well,
or nothing you want to share?
Yeah, not that I want to share. She was definitely had a riveting personality.
Yeah. Oh, Uncle Sam, please.
Yeah, and she tied her hair back because it flew when she moved. And yeah, she was quite something.
Okay, so we're going to move on from that before we both get into trouble. What about the wars after World War II?
Well, of course, Vietnam was the one that really left scars. Folks didn't question why we were at war. They questioned me. And for the first time, they'd spit at my poster. I wasn't Uncle Sam anymore. I was just some lying old man who sent their boys to the jungle. It just broke my heart. Afghanistan and Iraq, sheesh. I was tired of those. Felt like we were sending grandkids to clean up the messes that Uncle made. And every time they folded a flag at a funeral and a mother's heart cried, it just tore my heart apart.
So what's the lesson that we could get from these wars in general, and maybe the more recent ones in particular?
Well, there are just wars, but freedom isn't free. It costs a lot. It's heck expensive. And before you cash in on it, you better count the cost.
Yeah.
Because it's expensive.
It's expensive.
Yes.
So now we're going to talk a little bit about immigration. Immigration's a hot topic around here. And you have seen wave after wave of immigrants arrive.
Yes, that's true. I remember when the Irish came, and then the Italians came with their bread and their hopes, and the Jewish families followed with their prayers and their recipes. And the Chinese, of course, came and built the railroads over the mountains. But every ship that came to Ellis Island, I was there. I stood there with my hat in my hand saying, "Welcome, kids. Wipe your feet off before you step in." But Lord, Americans have a short memory. Each new wave of immigrants is called lazy, dirty, and criminals. I remember when folks thought the Italians would never fit in. And now you can't swing a stick downtown without hitting the pizza parlor.
You like pizza?
I love pizza. I have it once a week. And then the same with the Germans. They said sauerkraut was suspicious. But then we renamed it Liberty Cabbage during the war, and everybody ate it anyway. See what I mean? We seem to always fear the newcomers until the newcomers' grandkids run for office.
So what do you say to today's debates about immigration? Because it has changed a little bit lately.
It has. I'm all for immigration. In looking back, it's been the fabric. It's who we are. But we have to have respect for law and order in our borders. No one should cut in line. Everyone should wait their turn. And learn the basics and learn to assimilate. Become true Americans. Learn the language and speak it.
Learn the language. That's important.
Right.
Absolutely.
This country has been a stew since the beginning and since our first potluck. It's always been hard to strike a balance between shutting the door tight or leaving it open a little, but we do need a doorknob and we need a latch.
That's an interesting thought. Now, what advice do you have for the people that come over to our country?
Well, assimilation is everything. And respect those that came before. Don't try to change it. Try to blend in, try to fit in. And then you'll be able to, once you are accepted, then you'll be able to show that you might have new ideas and would be better. But in the meantime, just remember who you are. You're the newcomer. They've been here a while.
Right, right. Now, you've seen industry and technology explode over the past 50, 100, 150 years?
Yes. You know, I can remember the first steamboat and the first railroad cut across the land, saving weeks off trips. But even some folks thought those were wicked and witchcraft. They didn't believe in them, thought we shouldn't do it. Then came the factories with the smokestack belching out soot, and that we cough and sneeze until about 1910. But then Henry Ford rolled out the Model T, and suddenly every farmer's son was drag racing chickens down a dirt road.
Now, did you ever drag race a chicken?
I drag raced people that were chicken to drag race.
Well, you know, they even have a thing down here at the fairgrounds coming up here in a few nights called the Demolition Derby. So who knew that they'd be taking these cars someday and deliberately busting them up?
They're wrecking cars that I can't afford to buy. But it's a way of showing fun. It's It's a way of letting off steam.
Tell me about your very first car, seriously.
My very first car was a 53 Ford. I paid $300 for it.
It took a while for you to get on the bandwagon of buying a car.
No, I was 15.
No, you weren't.
No, I weren't. Not quite, no.
I think you were just a little hesitant to get on that horseless carriage.
Oh, that car. I'm just out of character.
Yeah.
Probably there was a horseless carriage, and it was probably electronic even.
And you were good with horses and wagons, and then came the car, and you were kind of a little like old-fashioned, going, I don't need no car. But then finally you got that first car.
Yep.
And that was, again, what kind of car?
It was a...
1953?
Yeah.
Something?
53, yeah.
Ford?
Ford.
Mm-hmm. Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I have heard that for whatever reason, what do you drive around in now? You got a little Volkswagen Bug.
I do, yeah.
Is that kind of a salute to immigration in general?
It is, yeah. Yeah, when I bought that, many people thought that I was not being a good U.S. citizen. I was driving a German car that was built by the Nazis.
Oh.
But to me, it was economic, and I needed a cheap car to get through college. And
you preferred that to a Pinto.
Well, yes.
Or whatever.
I was working in gas stations, and they were the ones that never needed oil.
So even Uncle Sam has to work.
Oh, yes.
You got to make a little bit of money
so that you
can eat your food.
Yep.
And get that apple pie.
That's right.
That's right. Okay. So, where are we at?
Well, here?
I kind of went away.
Well, no, we're talking about Ford. He came up with those things. And then...
Oh, yeah, you were racing chickens.
Yeah, yeah, right. And then here came the airplanes, and I was scared to death of those and still am. I thought that Wright Brothers had built a mechanical turkey.
Have you ever flown in an airplane?
Have I ever flown in an airplane?
Yeah, Uncle Sam. Have you ever flown?
On occasions. Okay. I've flown in a couple times on presidential planes and certain rallies.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Now, did you fly in any planes during World War II or anywhere like that?
I flew in a couple B-17s from Europe over Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, they let me in the back .
And no, you didn't get shot down?
No, made it through the couple times I went just to show the boys that the country was behind them.
Encourage them on.
Encouraging.
Okay.
I wanted to go with Billy Mitchell when he flew off the airplane, aircraft carrier, but they barely had room for gas, much less me.
Mm.
So I didn't get to go.
Oh, okay.
I really wanted to.
Was that the Doolittle raid?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But you were on the aircraft carrier, ready to go.
Oh, yes, I was there. I was one of the ones flagging them off.
Man, with your hat. Off you go.
They knew they couldn't make it back, so they needed all the gas they could do to get from the target and then get to China. So
that's right.
I wasn't able to go.
That's right. So, what's next after the Wright brothers?
Well, then, I guess America's gone through a lot of changes. I've seen us go from candles to light. I've seen them go from flashlights to neon to LEDs. But still, when all the power was off, people run for a candle and run for their life. We should just find a candle and go visit a neighbor and talk to them.
So we're just kind of gotten a little soft.
Yeah, we have gotten soft. Another thing, in the old days, we'd kind of work from sun up to sundown. We weren't worried about an 8-hour time clock. But today, we watch kids being exhausted after just a few hours on a laptop. But I had a typewriter back then, and it didn't even have a backspace on it. nor a way to correct it. We just lived with our mistakes, and it helped build character. I know that I had a little wound up for that, but I remember when high-tech meant a new plow or a new tractor. But now it's carrying around a phone that can tell you how many steps you took and what the weather is in Peru and who just unfollowed you on Instagram. Progress is great, but I miss I missed one of the only notification I had was just listening for a rooster to crow.
I hear what you're saying.
Well, don't get me wrong, technology is powerfully good, but sometimes we build machines to bring us closer together and it just backfires. It makes us more lonely and alone and by ourselves. What we really need to do is just lean over the fence and talk to a neighbor.
Now, I see people in restaurants all the time now. Instead of talking, they're on their phone texting each other instead of talking.
Why, that's a crime. That's a crime.
And then we got AI, artificial intelligence. You know, I'm not saying I have much intelligence, but it's I try to keep it real.
Yeah, we've gone too far to the technology.
Now, I found it interesting. You had a typewriter that didn't do a backspace, right. You know. Well, now we got computers and keyboards. And I mean, when I was in journalism, way back when, straight out of school, I mean, first I wrote my stories with pencil so I could erase. And then they put me on a computer keyboard, and that was crazy. And then, there was the typewriter. But there wasn't any spell check. Oh, I had so much trouble with spelling. And then finally they put in the spell check, and that helped me a lot. And now they got artificial intelligence, and that can literally write the whole story for you if you let it. That's crazy.
I think it is too. We need to be simple, we need to be honest, and just be who we are. Sometimes AI and all these other things create false narratives that don't help anybody.
Speaking of being who we really are, what's your thoughts about civil rights? Because that was a major issue.
Oh man, I've been around that for a long time. I was there when Abe Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. I saw his tears, I saw his joy, saw the fear. But freedom is easy on paper, but it's kind of tough in practice. I remember walking with Dr. King and Selma, heard the songs, could smell the tear gas. And son, when he said, "I have a dream," I swear that beard of mine floated in the wind. Then I watched people throw rocks at kids right after that, just going to school. Broke my heart again. But you can't forget about the fight for women to get their vote. Every march since, every story that you hear about, it was messy, it was bloody, it was full of shouting. But every shout, every march, every sit-in was the sound of America growing a little closer to its own promise.
What do you think America's promise is?
Our promise is equality for all. Everybody gets the same start. They may not end up the same, but they get the same level field to jump off on and use their talents and their wit. It boils down to the individual and his abilities to see what he needs to do and pursue it rather than waiting for someone to pass it on to him. It's make your own way with your own bootstraps.
America is a nation of noble ideas,
yes,
and ideals.
Yep.
We don't always measure up to them, but hopefully we learn and try to improve, learn from those mistakes.
Absolutely.
We're not perfect, but we do set the bar high, in my opinion.
Well, I think you do have to set the bar high. It's not it makes driving harder, and then makes when you reach that more accelerating.
Now, setting the bar high, were you there when we finally launched the rocket to go to the moon?
I was.
Yeah.
And I watched that One Step for Mankind. That was exciting. That was about 1969.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the first time I saw television.
Yeah. You're kind of slow to adapt to the new technology.
It was hard.
Yeah.
And then there were those who said that didn't happen. They filmed that out in the desert. They couldn't believe that either. But we were up there. They brought the rocks back to prove it.
So what about politics today?
Well, I've been to a lot of political rallies. I'm always there trying to observe and help out.
You kind of sit back in the crowd, not being too obvious?
Well, I stand out because of my uniform, but, but there's a lot of other weirdos anymore, so I don't...
Oh, you kind of fit in with them.
I kind of fit in with them. But really nothing's changed. One guy promises you free pie, and another guy says that pie he's offering you will poison you. The best advice I could get is never vote for somebody who won't eat his own cooking.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I'm not sure I trust my own cooking, so I don't know. We better not get into that too much.
Well, yeah.
So if you could change anything about yourself, you know, you had a lot of experience. You've been around a long time. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've probably had your share, and you've had your moments of accomplishment and thrilling experiences.
Yeah, that's true.
So what might you change about yourself? I'm not going to get into town and change myself. That's too personal.
Well, we've changed as a country. We've become a larger melting pot, and I'm viewed as a older white guy in a starchy suit. But really, as a family picture, we're all black, brown, yellow, red, male, female, rich, poor. So I kind of wish they'd paint me like that more instead of just the way I was in 1812.
Mm.
You know, we're a multicultural country now, and I should hope they could paint me that way somehow. I don't know how you would do that, but I think they should try.
So we've been talking about the past quite a bit. But let's talk about 2025, today, this year. How do you compare America now to, say, the 1800s?
Well, one of the ways, you knew where you were by the smell.
The smell?
Yes. If you were in Pittsburgh, you'd smell coal.
Oh.
And your clothes would smell like coal.
Oh.
And things you ate smelled like coal. If you were in New Orleans, it was bread. And if you were in Kansas, you'd smell like manure, and if you were in Boise, you'd smell like potatoes.
No, wait a minute. I'm from Kansas. Are you saying, what are you saying exactly?
Well, a lot of people in Kansas have stuff that's...
Hey, I take a shower every week, whether I need it or not. Come on.
Well, I'm glad you do.
But of course, maybe that's because I moved to Idaho.
But today, all the towns look alike. All the downtowns look and smell alike. But they smell like Starbucks and gasoline.
Now, you like your coffee.
I do.
Wow. How do you like your coffee?
I like it black, I like it hot, and doesn't have to be a clean cup even.
You know, I can handle the, you know, it doesn't have to be a clean cup, but I got to have my little chocolate additive to my coffee and my creamer. I guess I'm kind of a tutti frutti guy, I guess. My son tells me that my coffee is more like warm pop. So that might be a character flaw on my part.
Well, you treat your coffee a dessert, you know, as something that you do to satisfy yourself and reward yourself.
So,
I use it as a jump starter.
Oh, high octane.
A high octane, yeah.
That's right. Okay. And you need that?
I drink it instead of doing it intravenously.
Well, you know, if I was getting into my 200-year-old area, you know, I'd probably need that too. Yeah. So, how else would you describe America today?
How I would describe America today? It's still a work in process. I think it's making progress. I think that we don't tend to look at how far we've come. We look at how far we have to go, and we have to measure that. Progress based on what's ahead of us and measured by what's behind us. I think that we're always stepping forward. It's kind of like the guy climbing a pole in a at a parade or a picnic. He goes up a couple ways and he slides back down. But we're like a family. Our family reunion always has a food fight. I guess, you know, the uncles are throwing mashed potatoes, and the cousins are arguing about who brought the best pie, and grandma just sitting in the corner crying.
Yeah.
But if somebody else fire, everyone will rush to help. That's America. We're loud, we're messy, but when it counts, we're still united, I hope. But there's a warning that I'd like to pose, and it's if this country fails, if this great republic doesn't work, it's not because of our enemies, the Russians, the Chinese, or whomever. It's because we were too busy fighting each other to forget we are kin. Division or a crack in a dam, if it were to burst, would cause us to drown faster than you could argue about on Facebook. Every election, every year, people say, every 2 years, every 4 years, that America's more divided than ever. But hey, back in 1861, those folks were divided, and their debate was with a bayonet and a cannon. Compare that today. Today's Twitter fights look like two squirrels arguing over an acorn.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just amazing how we've gotten a little. We just take things so personal now. We got such thin skin, and we got all upset over what used to be nothing. Yes, you're absolutely right, Uncle Sam. Absolutely. So, what other advice do you have for Americans today?
Well, I've been in every state of the Union. I've climbed the mountains in Colorado, picked peaches in Georgia, watched the salmon run in Alaska, and recently picked huckleberries in Idaho.
Yeah, there you go.
And my advice is travel the country, our country first. People fly all over the oceans for adventures, and yet they haven't seen the Grand Canyon. And they haven't heard old Camp Cookie sing. That's like skipping dessert at Thanksgiving.
You know, I've been to the Grand Canyon. It's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Well, actually, it's hot.
Yes.
Depending on when you go and where you're at. Yeah, absolutely.
And Yellowstone. Yellowstone mm-hmm. and Yosemite and Glacier National Park. Beautiful places.
You know, I only live not that far from Glacier National Park. And Joy, we haven't made it to Glacier National Park, so we need to check that out.
But from where you live, it's only 4 hours.
Well, yeah, as the crow flies, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I sat through sermons longer than that.
Did you get anything out of them?
No, just a sore rear end.
Oh, I got a feeling you got more than that.
Probably. Yeah.
So what are you going to be doing on your big birthday on September the 13th?
I've been thinking about it. I'm probably just going to sit back on the front porch and reflect, eat some pie, maybe hum a little bit of Yankee Doodle, and I'll blow out 213 candles if I can get a fire permit from the local fire station.
Now you're gonna hum Yankee Doodle Dandy. Is that one of your favorite songs?
Well, it is. It's kind of our national anthem for a long time, and it's a song that,
tell me about that song. What was the deal with that song? You were right there.
I was there, that's true. Well, Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony.
Who wrote that song, actually?
Written by an English surgeon who was making fun of us. They called us doofuses and dodos, and not up to snuff when it came to the pedigree of the real Englishman, because we're riding ponies, not horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the part about put a feather in his cap and called it macaroni, that was a slight, saying we were not upper class enough. The Baronis were the hotty-totty ones in England at the time, and we just didn't measure up. And the song ends by saying, and let the girls be handy. That's kind of a reflection saying that if you can't be beautiful, I hope they're handy.
That's not very nice.
But when the war ended in about 1804 or something like that.
Oh, the War of 1812?
No, the Revolutionary War ended.
Okay, that was like 1781.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere, yeah. You weren't even here then at that time.
No, I've been told this story.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That they played the U.S. bands played that just to thumb their nose and rub it in the skin of the British as they were laying down their swords with their tail between their legs going home.
I guess we were a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
We sure were.
That's right. Yeah. Put them in their place.
Yeah.
So, you know, I noticed you kind of brought a banjo with you.
Yeah, it's a banjo.
You like to play the banjo.
Well, a little bit anymore. It's getting harder because my shoulders are rounded up. and my goatee is long and it gets caught in the string.
Oh my gosh. Messy. Okay.
But if I straighten my back and trim my mustache or my goatee a bit, I can play it a little bit, enough to satisfy me.
Could I talk you into playing Yankee Doodle Dandy?
Would you do that?
Now, you just kind of travel with your banjo at all times, just in case the opportunity presents itself. Well,
people pay me to keep the lid on it, not to take it over them.
Well, I'm asking if you would, you wouldn't blow out my microphone, would you, or anything?
No.
Okay. No. Well, let's do a little tune up, and we'll treat the audience to a little Yankee Doodle Dandy, and who knows what else might come out of it. Okay.
Well, the song is older than I am, so it's up there.
Okay. All right. We're going to get set up here, and you guys won't even know it because I'm going to hit the pause button, and Uncle Sam's going to get his banjo ready, and he's going to clear his throat, maybe take a little drink of his high-octane coffee, and then we'll hear back from him very shortly, okay?
Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat, called it macaroni. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy, mind the music and the steps and let the girl be handy.
Thank you, Uncle Sam. That was awesome. I think I could never begin to do that. That was fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, you've played in a number of different venues over the years, I'm sure. And
parades and things like that, family reunions and hoedowns and hootenannies. And the names changed over the time, but they're musical events.
Now, is the banjo your instrument of choice?
When I'm holding it, it is.
Now, you've probably played in some pianos in a few saloons in your day.
Not saloons. Churches, maybe.
Oh my. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I wouldn't have any problem doing that. I just haven't been around that many.
You just stay away from the saloons. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I guess if you know your weakness, you kind of stay away from things.
You know your weaknesses. Well, I know my weaknesses. Yeah, I got plenty. So, any final words for America?
Well, I guess it's kind of remember who we are and where we came from. We need to be humble. We need to think not of ourselves as being high and mighty, that we're a flawed individual, and that by God's grace we are who we are. And for heaven's sake, keep laughing. Don't point fingers. Don't make fun. Be empathetic to your neighbors. Be kind to strangers and smile like you've got good dental work.
Good dental work. That's come a long way in the last 200 years. Dental work.
Better than the ones George Washington had, the wooden ones.
Yes, you never had to worry about that.
You get a sliver of pie and a sliver of wood at the same time.
Oh, that would hurt. My goodness. So, ladies and gentlemen, Uncle Sam himself. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
And now you're going to get ready for your birthday party.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get a piece of pie, and as long as people offer pie and coffee, I'll keep coming out.
Now, with Uncle Sam getting ready to eat his apple pie, his birthday pie, I want to remind everyone to feel free to email me with your reactions, thoughts, or suggestions for future guests or show ideas. I'll always be open to constructive comments. And my email is northidahopodcast@gmail.com. And if you got any messages for Uncle Sam, you can send them to me and I will forward them on, because he's always on the road. I don't know where he's going to be next month or even tomorrow. He just kind of goes where he wants to go, wherever the road leads him. Is that right, Uncle Sam?
That's right. Tumbling we be.
tumbling weed, depending on what the direction of the wind. So again, thanks a lot, everybody. I appreciate every single one of you who listens to this humble effort at a podcast. And we'll be back with you sometime next week with another, I hope, exciting guest. It's going to be hard to top this, though. This was pretty special. Thanks again, Uncle. As we close today, I keep coming back to the image of Uncle Sam. For most of us, he's that stern figure in red, white, and blue, pointing his finger and saying, "I want you." But if you look a little deeper, he represents more than military service or government authority. He's a reminder of who we are meant to be as a people. Our founding fathers, for all their differences, were united in the belief that liberty and virtue had to go hand in hand. They drew heavily on their Judeo-Christian worldview, truths about human dignity, justice, and accountability before God. George Washington reminded us that religion and morality are the foundation of freedom. John Adams warned that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Those words still echo today. So when Uncle Sam points his finger, I don't just hear a call to enlist. I hear the founders' challenge across the centuries. Will we steward our freedom with character? Will we remember that our rights don't come from government, but from our Creator? Will we live not just for ourselves, but for something greater? That's the heart of it. Uncle Sam isn't just a patriotic image. He's a mirror, reflecting the responsibility that we all carry. And maybe the best way to honor him and the vision of our founders is to live with integrity, to love our neighbor, and to remember that freedom thrives when rooted in faith and virtue. So let's carry this with us. Freedom lasts only as long as we live it with faith and character. Thanks, everyone.